Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for today's Camp Notes for 8/15/2024. Of course, all about the Baltimore Ravens camp. Another great day of weather. No pads today. The last day for fans at camp. So some interesting things going on with that. Hasn't really been a super heavily attended camp. The stands always seem to be pretty much half full. I know they have to limit passes because of total parking availability, but it's a little bit sad that they can't find a way to incorporate more fan involvement at camp. The kids are loud, but the atmosphere is really great, even with more people there. And we really do appreciate fans being at camp. It was a short practice, a very light one. Absent number of players. I'll go through them as quickly as I can here. Keaton Mitchell, who's still on PUP. Rasheen Ali, still a stinger from the first exhibition or preseason game. Russell Gage, still out. We don't have a definitive answer that that's a hamstring, but that's what the rumor is. Tez Walker was not at practice today. That was undisclosed as far as the reason is. Mark Andrews, combination of the car crash. And I know I've been in a crash before. You sometimes feel a lot of that the next day. So the car crash was yesterday morning. Maybe he's feeling some of it today. And he also may have had something happen at Tuesday during practice. So he didn't leave the field, but he left any reps after an early leaping catch that he made. So he might have come down funny at that point. So I'm not sure the reason why he was out, but anyway, he wasn't back yet. Tyler Linderbaum is still not back. He's been out since early August. Chris Board, a concussion in the first game. Josh Ross, don't know the reason, so he's undisclosed. Arthur Maulet, we saw him running on the side field. Yesterday, I think. But he wasn't at practice, and we don't expect him back for a good period. I do believe he's been through his procedure by the fact that he was already running again. So that's interesting. Now, this is a tough one. Kyle Hamilton, who practiced yesterday and had an interception, was out today. Not sure the exact reason. Could just be a precautionary thing to do it, two on, one off kind of thing, or a one on, one off, even in his case, as he, comes back, ramps up, but he wasn't there today. Sanusi Kane, we believe that's a concussion, but it hasn't been disclosed, I don't believe, officially. Christian Matthew, an undisclosed injury, has not been back. He's kind of at the bottom of the outside corner depth chart, but that does potentially impact who plays at that position against the Falcons this weekend. So we'll see how that goes. Limited were TJ Tampa, who did positional drills only. And Trayvon Mullen, though, was a full go today. So he's been kind of ramping up. He's been back. He's been in uniform, running on the side, doing positional drills today. He did everything. And in fact, he was out there a fair amount with what I would call the first team or against the first team in terms of his cornerback spot. So that was, it was a good day for him to really get back into the flow. It's possible, I suppose, that he could be playing against the Falcons this weekend. If you're on the field, I would think, a veteran CB like him could be in the second half, could be actually a pretty big game changer if he's out there in the second half. So we'll see. Now, the big news, Nate Wiggins already back and a full go at practice today. So he showed up He was in special teams drills. Then he was on the field a lot opposite, you know, sometimes opposite Mullins, sometimes opposite JAD in terms of his reps. But he was back and apparently a full go. Now, they weren't in pads today, but it's still a very good sign that Wiggins is already practicing at this level. And, you know, there was talk about we'd hope to have him back for week one. And I think Harbaugh was couching it this way. This is one of those times. You got to give Harbaugh credit for not overstating the unseriousness of an injury. So Wiggins, to have him back is just great news. I'm going to go through a very limited set of 11 on 11 scrimmage notes. There's no scoring of today's practice because it wasn't padded, but I'll go through that in just a moment. All right, so Lamar completed a 20-yard throw to Flowers crossing. He beat Humphrey badly. Looked like the yak went for a TD. Whenever Flowers gets a ball in the open field, particularly anywhere between level two and three or in level three, it's just that play looks like it's going to go, and this was one of those. Lamar then hit Wallace on a hot read. It was about 10 yards between the numbers and the right hash. A completion with a big yak element afterwards. Looked like he did it with the blitz coming off that slot. So good hot read by Lamar, something he always hasn't always been great at, but this was a real nice one. Johnson threw a touchdown to Kadir Ishmael between JAD and Worley. That was about 25 yards between the left numbers and left hash. Kadir caught the ball, spun away from the coverage, which frankly was not particularly tight. And they're playing it a little bit light today. I'd say the defense was not really going after the ball as much as they have been in recent times. They still got a few PDs and one interception, but they let a lot of things happen too. Ishmael took it the length of the field and then dunked it on the goalpost. So he's been having a big camp, and that was another nice play. Bump Cooper, another guy who's having a big camp, had a pass defense undercutting Malik Cunningham on a pass from Johnson that was 5 yards by the right sideline. Cooper has just looked terrific. They have got to try and find him a spot. His performance in the first preseason game was outstanding. He is absolutely on other teams' radar right now as a guy who could help them. If Bump Cooper was playing for some other team and the Ravens needed a slot corner, they'd be all over it. I think Cooper could be more than that. He's 5'11". He probably could be a hybrid slot or outside guy. What I've seen from him has just been terrific, and what he's done deep has been as good as what he's done on crossing routes and both in camp and in the games. And as you know, he had four targets in that first game. Zero completions against him. That one very nice PD in the end zone where he went up high to swat the ball at what would have been the catch point. He's having a great camp right now and deserves to be in the Ravens cornerback picture, I believe, going into the season. So let's see. Deion Jennings then knocked down a pass that was intended for Isaiah Likely from Lamar. It was about 15 yards between the hash and the right numbers. Brandon Stevens had a pass defense on Devin Leary's pass for Isaiah Washington. That was 10 yards right down the left sideline. Nice play by Stevens. It was not as much a find the ball as a read the hands, get physical with the player thing. A practice like this, by the way, where the defensive backs are generally taking it easy, either Brandon Stevens has to just not respect that and just go ahead and play hard anyway, or he's going to have a very disappointing day, because a lot of Brandon Stevens' game is trying to find the ball right at the catch point and not finding it in the air. So he reads the receiver's hands. He's typically, you know, very comfortable playing that trail technique and then trying to knock that ball free at the catch point. It leads to many fewer turnovers given, you know, his play style. And also in a practice like this, I'm sure it would be frustrating to him. Johnson completed a touchdown, another one to Ishmael, on which the tight end adjusted for the football to beat Ardarius Washington. Now, Ardarius Washington, of course, having a great camp. Ishmael's shown himself to be a really good box out player, and he twisted back to get the football to the outside and left Washington in a position where he couldn't really do anything. He really wasn't going to do anything in a non-contact, unpadded practice. So that's the way that went. One guy who's been having a difficult camp is Reigerman. He's a fullback slash tight end, and he had an OPI called on him on Bump Cooper. So Bump Cooper had good coverage in the end zone. Ball was badly overthrown, but Reigerman kind of twisted his body a little bit to try and make sure he didn't get the interception. You like to see a guy playing defense. You don't like to see a guy playing defense on a ball that was that far overthrown. Trayvon Mullen had a nice tight underneath coverage of Scotty Washington on a pass from Johnson that sailed high and incomplete. It's just a play. If the ball had been on target, it probably would have been picked by Mullen, but it was excellent coverage anyway. Cooper was flagged for a DPI, really his only down point of the practice, unlikely in the end zone from a pass from Lamar. So obviously don't want to see that, but a tough matchup for him going against Isaiah Likely. On a play that was not long after that, Lamar had ATS, and Lamar really took advantage of some unwhistled plays in this practice. But in this case, very long developing play. He threw for Miller in the back of the end zone. It was about 15 yards from the line of scrimmage, right between the goalposts. The pass was tipped by Evandy Rigby, and he was able to collect it himself. So he tipped the ball to himself. Very nice play. And, you know, a good practice from Evandy Rigby. He had a pretty good preseason game in the sense that he's one of the players stopping the long plays by the Eagles. He's also one of the people responsible for not, you know, flowing directly to the appropriate gap against the Eagles and getting the play stopped for no gain or for a loss. Rigby had 7 tackles and only 21 snaps, but 6 of those were defensive losses. The 7th was a 1-yard gain that occurred on first down as they were setting up the game-winning field goal. So I don't think we can really count that one as a win either. So nice to see him put together a good practice here. I still think he's a possibility to be the backup Mike linebacker if he hangs on the practice squad ready to take that role. And one of the big questions we had about him was, how is his coverage going to be? So it's very nice anytime we see, frankly, any inside linebacker have an impact on a play where there's a fairly deep drop involved. And we saw one from Simpson the other day. Simpson's been beaten on some wheel routes. He hasn't looked, honestly, I don't think he's looked that great in coverage. But he made a good play the other day. And we saw one from Rigby today. And it's just the more, the better. Those inside linebackers, if they're the weakest link, the quarterback will find them. And so you hope that that resolves itself. Let's see. Johnson overthrew Ishmael 20 yards, one circle. I'm sorry, down the left sideline with Stevens in step-for-step coverage. Ball might have been intercepted had it been on target. Again, Stevens is not guaranteed to find the ball in the air, but Johnson really seems to have a connection with Ishmael. I think a lot of the quarterbacks like the big target. Any of the young quarterbacks really do. Ishmael's played, it seems like, a fair amount with Johnson, although he's been all up and down in terms of which units he's been on the field with. We had Leary complete a 10-yard pass by the right sideline to Isaiah Washington. And the interesting thing about this play was Humphrey and Ardarius Washington. Humphrey was kind of like too shallow on the play. Ardarius Washington didn't get over in time. And then they had words after the play, presumably about whose responsibility the coverage was. But it looked like there was some kind of a bust to the coverage on that play. And it's quite possible that Ardarius Washington wasn't in the right place or that Humphrey took a gamble on something else on the play. And in any case, they talked it out. And then Mullen finished the day with a DPI on a pass for Cunningham. So the cornerbacks had some ups and some downs in this game, but I'd say they generally played pretty well. Pretty nice day for Brandon Stevens is the cornerback I'd pick out who had a really nice day. And Mullen having a DP. Actually, Cooper didn't have a DPI. Yes, he was. He was flagged for DPI, unlikely in the end zone. But he also drew an OPI. So Mullen had a DPI. Not sure exactly where Mullen stands, but there's still time, I think, for him to make a play to be on the roster. It depends kind of how many corners that the Ravens hold, whether they have one slot cornerback. So they're going to have Mollett, and presumably he's going to start the year on IR. Then they're going to have another slot corner, and maybe that's Pepe, or maybe they only keep Ardarius Washington. If they only keep Ardarius Washington, then they may be able to keep 5 outside corners. That includes Humphrey, who can move to the slot, and might even include Bump Cooper, who could move to the slot, say. So you'd have some versatility in the players you had there. And of course, we do expect that Kyle Hamilton is going to play a lot of those slot snaps in a big nickel look that the Ravens like to show. So anyway, still some time for things to work out. If Mullen is not there, he'll probably be at the top of the practice squad for the Ravens. And it wouldn't surprise me if he is on other teams' radar once he gets some legitimate preseason tape out there. And so obviously he didn't do that for the first game. So he's just still dealing with the shoulder separation, but could well be on teams' radars after this week. Laps for false starts, we've been reporting them, and Daryl Simpson had a lap, and also Roger Rosengarten. In Rosengarten's case, I was kind of interested in seeing if he'd run the whole lap, and he did. He ran all the way around the edge of the end zone, past the goalposts and whatnot, the way you'd like to see a lap run. There's been a lot of shortcutting of that. Charlie Kolar with the worst case, but a lot of linemen, Ben Cleese.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When, you know, even on the open end of the field where the offense is heading, they'll still cut it off of the goal line and try and shortcut that lap. Anyway, probably too much to be made of it. Jump right into the interviews now. And they had the Wolfpack plus Randy Brown up today. It's always an entertaining group in a lot of ways. And you know Tucker, but Randy Brown is an entertaining guy. And he tells you a whole bunch of family business I'm not going to get into, but about his daughter and his wife and this and that. But go ahead and listen to the interview if you want to hear that. Had best wishes for Joe D. We all did. Nice job by Nick Mehta to get a card that the media group could send to him. He's always been very good to the media. Eager to talk to us, happy to answer questions. And it was nice that that Nick thought to do that. He was asked, how is his time being redirected between kickoff and field goals in terms of practice time? There was an interesting comment he made. I think he understood the question was really a matter of effort in terms of practice and whatnot, but he answered it a little differently. He answered it in terms of, how often does Tucker kick off? And what Randy Brown says, under the old kickoff rules, and I think what he means is like the old 20-yard line kickoff rules where you could boom a kick and it would really be a, a positive thing to boot it through the end zone. That goes back to Cundiff being a real specialist at that in particular. But they got Tucker, and it was still in the early years of him. And I don't remember when they started bringing the ball out to 25 on touchbacks, and then after that on fair catches that would occur. But they did that at some point, obviously during Tucker's tenure. And he said that he only wanted Tucker kicking off once per week under the old rules because it was a high intensity kick. And I thought, does he really mean one kick per week, or does he mean one session of kicks per week, or one day per week that he's doing it? I think he might have actually meant only one high intensity kick per week that he wanted Justin Tucker to take in terms of kicking off. And by the way, if that's true, then I believe that there is some difference of opinion between Brown and Tucker that's been alluded to before in interviews, by the way, that Tucker feels like he's good to kick much more frequently and much more in the way of long field goals, for example, than Brown would really like. So Brown is much more protective of Justin's leg, and Justin, you know, being the athlete, despite being an incredible perfectionist, which we heard some detail about, still is, you know, wants to put his body through it and is happy to do so, you know, 35 years old. So the one thing that I asked about was Jordan Stout and Tucker's advantage over expectation relative to other kickers in the league has dropped slightly in the last 2 years when coincidentally Stout has been the holder. And he said he thought Jordan Stout was the best holder in the entire NFL. And he gave his reasons. And they were one, that he was trained by the GOAT holder of all time, Sam Cook, who absolutely is a Hall of Fame holder if were any ever elected from that position. And also the demands of Justin Tucker were cited as being a reason why Jordan Stout would not be allowed to fail in this position, is that he's just so demanding. It must be perfect in terms of where that ball is holding. We later heard from Stout in the thing. He reiterated that comment specifically that Tucker was extremely demanding. Needed the ball put down on an area the size of a grain of rice. Okay. Think about that's pretty specific. I asked him to talk a little bit about the lean of the football and what he liked. And he said, Tucker was very easy because he wanted the ball straight up and down with a slight lean towards the holder. So a lean, I guess it would be towards the outside as Tucker approaches the ball, since the Stout would be holding on that side of the football. So, you know, just interesting set of observations from the Wolfpack here. The thing that Tucker was up next, and he said that he planned to have 8 to 9 different clubs in the bag in terms of the kickoff types going into the regular season. So, you know, Randy had mentioned that the new kickoff rule creates kind of a lower intensity kick, a lot of pooching. And of course, there's been a lot of pooching in the game the last few years with the 25-yard line touchback and fair catch rules. I think the fair catch rules have only been 1 year, but I think the 25-yard line now has been more than 1 year. In any case, the opportunity to pooch that ball inside the 10-yard line, try and cut off the field by being very, very specific in the placement of the football outside the numbers or right on the numbers. Those things have already created, I think, some low intensity kicks for Tucker. Now they create more stress on your coverage team, who then has to go down and get physical with the other team. And I think you really need to balance those two, because the coverage team, they have other responsibilities on the team. I mean, Charlie Kolar, you know, might get some snaps as a tight end in your typical game and will be needed for blocking, whatnot. If you blow him up because you cover kicks, that's not a good thing. And there's other players, of course, Malik Harrison and others, who are very important to the defense. And so you need to make sure that those guys are ready to play their positions there. And I think beyond that, there's a certain amount of the of game script situations where you want to take the lower variance option, particularly when you have a big lead. So if it doesn't matter too much to you that the other team starts at the 25-yard line. We'll go ahead and boot the ball into the end zone, save your kickoff team from taking a set of contact on that, and or let the other team take a fair catch if they want to do that. But then you're asking a little bit more of your kicker to make it all the way to the end zone. I don't think, honestly, that part of it is too much. But I can understand if Randy Brown is saying only one kick per week for Justin Tucker by the old kickoff rules, then he probably would say we're using a currency there as well in having Tucker kick the ball into the end zone. So anyway, some interesting, you know, back and forth between these men in terms of what they had. He was asked about tackle opportunities. How is he played differently under the new scheme? This probably will be much more common that Tucker will be caught in the open trying to make an open field tackle. Now, he said, you know, primary responsibility, and I'm paraphrasing some, you can hear the question. I asked it actually, but about what his responsibilities were, but he says that, I need to mirror the guy. And then he started talking about two gapping and trying to maybe get involved and make some tackles and whatnot. But it's a very lonely feeling, by the way, for a kicker to be facing a return man from a distance of, say, 10 yards. He's got almost zero chance to catch that guy if the guy isn't otherwise in traffic. If he has a chance to slow the player down and other players might arrive, yes, then it's possible. Most of the time, if he's facing somebody who has any ability to juke, he remains a 35-year-old kicker who is probably not going to be able to make a tackle in the open field like that. And that's been the case since time immemorial, that's not a good place to be. But it's going to be more specific this year when the kickers start at their own 40 and the rest of the coverage team is starting at the, 25 yards ahead or whatever. I think it's the 35-yard line. So it'll be something to adapt to for kickers to understand how they can maximize themselves in the open field, or whether they not need to close ranks with the rest of that coverage team and the blockers that are there to try and make use of themselves in space better. So I think it is a legitimate thing, but he had lots of funny things to say. And if you listen to the interview, it's actually pretty, pretty good. Nick Moore came out. He talked about his injury last year that put him on the NFI list. Really strange, but just before 2023 camp, he was practicing the conditioning test, and apparently that's when he got his Achilles injury. Now, by the way, if you're a player, and I do not believe this of Nick Moore, I believe we're getting a straight story in this, but if you're a player, that's the kind of story you would make up about how you got your injury that happened right before camp and you showed up with an Achilles injury. You say, well, I was practicing the conditioning test. I was doing it over at this field. I heard something pop and then crap, my Achilles is gone. I knew it was terrible and I got in the car. I went to the hospital, whatever. Nick Moore, I believe that's actually what happened, but what you really don't want to admit is, yeah, it happened at a pickup basketball game and this guy fouled me. Look, I'm telling you, it was a foul and I hit the ground. All of a sudden my ankles popped out. It wasn't my fault at all. You know, that's the worst possible, because the big fault, of course, is that you're playing in a pickup basketball game. and Nick didn't have that sort of a story for it, but if you're looking for a reasonable reason why you might have an Achilles injury, that practicing the conditioning test is something that it makes sense. In Nick's case, they asked him about the snap to hold technique. He said, "Yeah, watch a lot of tape together. It really boggles the mind, but how much tape could they watch of snaps that come on field goal, extra point attempts, et cetera, to talk about what might be wrong?" And I just they've got some, clearly. I don't know how they look at it, whether it's all 22 end zone view is what really gives them what they need, or whether they need to go from the side, or if they have maybe their own special angles that the Ravens have but don't share with the all 22 system that covers the entire National Football League and is available in the entire National Football League and is shared with fans and analysts like me who can buy it on NFL Plus. I think they have other angles that they must be recording when they're at home, at least to try and get better information on that. I know they were using that GoPro cam in Stout's first year when Cook was teaching him, but regardless, he said they watch a lot of tape and they've been practicing together since February. Okay. The Ravens were out of the playoffs on January 28th. The fact that they've been practicing together since February is the greatest single positional group in terms of putting it together, if that's true, and they were practicing all along during that period. So very impressive, and good to see him out there. He comes at the Zen, and you know Nick Moore is coming, so it had to be Nick Moore because we know what Stout and Tucker look like. But kind of looked like some other special teams coach was coming because he's actually an older guy. You know, he's probably like about 32, 33 now, and he's a lot of gray in his beard. So it's like, oh, if he had jumped up and said, yeah, I'm the kicking special teams coordinator kind of thing, and I report to Randy, the thing, if he had said something like that, it would have been absolutely hilarious. But anyway, Nick Moore was pretty good at the microphone as well. Then Jordan Stout came up. First thing he did was reiterate in one of the early questions that Tucker holds him to this incredibly high standard. So that's always good to hear. And he talked about, he was asked about his own kicking aspirations or kicking career. He says, I realize my career in that regard is over, but I still have to be ready if anything happens to Tucker during a game and I have to finish it out. And again, I'm paraphrasing some there, but you can listen to the interview if you want to. The one thing he did I thought that was interesting is he emphasized the need to get the ball down as quickly as possible. And that he sometimes, when he was being coached by Sam initially, he took some flack for that when practicing. So he would be a little slow getting the ball down. And they say, and Cook would say something like, nice of you to take your time on that one and make sure you got it right. Got to think, well, you know, this is a speed and accuracy profession, was the point Cook was making. And he really needs to get the ball down in a hurry. So I just think it would be a tough road to hoe to be Jordan Stout and have Randy Brown, Justin Tucker, and Sam Cook all yelling at you about how to do it differently in terms of holding a job. I can't even imagine how difficult that would be. In my actual career, you have one person talking over your shoulder who's freed from the responsibilities of the keyboard. Actuarial work involves a lot of what I call over-the-shoulder modeling, where you'll be looking at screens of inputs in terms of how you want to set up your assumptions and whatnot. And the guy who's sitting there without the keyboard responsibilities has a tremendous advantage, even though he's not, you know, right up on top of the screen, in terms of being able to see it and talk it while the other guy's got to think about what he's typing. And I'll just say, if you have three guys in that situation who are over the shoulder at the same time, that's probably what Jordan Stout felt like when he's getting taught how to hold by Cook, Brown, and Tucker all at the same time. Anyway, that's going to do it for Camp Nights tonight. I hope you guys will stay tuned. Look forward to Voss and me on Friday morning GM. That'll be out tomorrow morning if you're listening to this on Thursday night. And look forward to the game on Saturday. All the regular content coming after the game, of course. If you have a question for either the offense or defense review of the preseason week 2 game, please leave that in hashtag film study mailbag on Twitter. We'll try and get to as many as we can. I put that up too late this last week, and so I just want to make sure I did it during this show. Otherwise, life's good. We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.